Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable. Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath. We'll talk some baseball with Tim Allen in about 30 minutes. Tim's always been very optimistic on the Brewers. Been doing the post-game show about 15 years here. Every season is a championship season. One year, that will come true. But I think yesterday, even the most optimistic of Brewers fans need to maybe adjust their expectations. They did not look good. Two games in one day at Miller Park, a doubleheader has never been played at Miller Park. First doubleheader in Milwaukee since the year 2000. The year 2000! Obviously, they have a stadium with a roof now, which has been closed most of the time. I'll have to ask Adam McKelvey about that Monday. Somebody tried to ask him, and he doesn't know. Maybe he did some digging. Because they've closed the roof more of the time this year. I don't know if it's to keep out the light or the shadows or what. There's no fans, so, you know, those nights of a beautiful summer night where we can't go to the game and watch baseball doesn't affect it too much, but the roof's been closed a lot. Anyway, the baseball product, very poor yesterday, and we'll talk to Tim about that coming up in a little bit. The reports out of Packers training camp, again, no practice yesterday. They'll be back at it here this weekend. Aaron Rodgers has looked very, very good, and Jordan Love has not. And that was one of the questions we asked our Green and Gold insider, Ryan Wood, yesterday. I asked him, is Rodgers as good as we're hearing, and is Love as bad as we're hearing?
First of all, Aaron Rodgers, yes, he's been that good. He was 5 of 7 on third down during the move the ball drill, a lengthy move the ball drill that included being backed up at the 2-yard line, going in from the 30. He was phenomenal on Tuesday. He's been phenomenal for really the last 3 or 4 practices. He's hit a crescendo, and Aaron Rodgers said that he left some of this up to the imagination, but he said that he was watching 2010 cut-ups and saw something on the film that reminded him of almost a flaw in his game that used to not exist and now does. And he said that he went about fixing that. Now, what is that? He wouldn't say. Was it throwing off the back foot? Was it? You know, I'll tell you this: on Tuesday, he was hitting his running backs on checkdowns a lot. I noticed that. It could be any number of things, but the bottom line is that he noticed, and it could be neither of those things. Bottom line is he noticed something that needed to be changed in his game. He says that he changed it, and that is not a coincidence that he's been practicing better. As far as Jordan Love, I think it's obvious. I think it's as expected. He's a rookie quarterback who had 0 on-field time this offseason and did not get onto the field until midway through August, and he's had 2 weeks. Without any preparation. He's clearly swimming right now. It's why the Packers are going to keep 3 quarterbacks, because Tim Boyle has had infinitely more time comparatively than Jordan Love. And the one thing that Jordan Love needs at this point is time. He's got to develop. He needs time to develop. And that's the one thing that he doesn't have is time. Tim Boyle, the one thing he's had is time, because he has that full year in Matt LaFleur's playbook. Only the second time since he was in high school that he's had consecutive years in the same playbook. So it's a big deal for Tim Boyle to have a back-to-back same offense, the familiarity, the comfortability of that. And it looks that way for Tim Boyle. He's always had the arm, and now he's, you know, the game is slower for him. He's delivering the ball where it needs to go with that arm, and I mean, it's looked the way it should for Tim Boyle. Jordan Love, he hasn't had that time yet. So he, from footwork to progressions to all the speed of the game, all kinds of things. There's all kinds of adjustments for Jordan Love to make, and I don't think that it's in any way a surprise that it hasn't happened in 2 weeks.
Full interview with Ryan Wood available on our website and radio.com. It's brought to you by John Paul Buick's GMC Highway 100 in Greenfield. Click Fan on Demand for that. We talk with Ryan Wood every Monday and Thursday from PackersNews.com throughout the week. I think maybe if they had two first-round picks and they spent one on an immediate weapon and then one on a development quarterback, I'd be better with it.
Yeah.
Is it worth it as a first-round pick if – because this is the spin a lot of you guys might have had. If Rodgers all of a sudden is motivated to be as good as ever, does it justify the first-round pick? Because in your first-round pick, all these other guys are saying, I'm going to take Justin Jefferson.
I think that would have motivated.
Edwards-Helaire. I'm going to take this guy. But the Packers essentially they traded up to take motivation for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I think maybe they see something in Jordan Love. Matt LaFleur is, quote-unquote, the quarterback whisperer, at least he claims to be. So maybe with Jordan Love, you see that he has the arm talent.
All these coaches claim to be.
There's just a couple things that he's got to fix and work on with his mechanics, his footwork and whatnot. Although we're hearing that he can't make all the throws now, which isn't great, and all he's doing are these little touch passes and then anything else he's inaccurate on. But with Jordan Love, you know, I think that maybe they see something where in two or three years, you know, he'll be ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I kind of miss those days. I was talking about that on the pregame show a little bit, where you would draft a quarterback or you draft a player in the first round, and it wouldn't be he was just expected to produce year one, year two, and if not year three, you considered him a bust. I don't mind guys holding a clipboard and learning from one of the best. That's how Rodgers became the best. You know, his first couple training camps and preseasons, you didn't really know what you had. A lot of people were calling Aaron Rodgers a bust as well. He didn't really pick things up, I would argue, until maybe year three. You know, as the backup quarterback there, he got to learn behind Favre. You could say, what did he learn from Favre? Favre didn't learn how to read a defense until year 10, but he learned exactly that, you know, how not to throw 30 interceptions a season. So I think I miss those days kind of where guys had the time to develop. So I think it'll be a good thing for Jordan Love. Would it be worth the first-round pick for some motivation? I don't know, because I think probably Justin Jefferson or getting a wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers would have given him a little motivation as well. But maybe Goot and LaFleur, kind of like we talked about on draft night, knew what was going on with COVID-19, knew there would be no – but, like, no, you know what I mean? Like, knew that everything would kind of get postponed and moved back.
I guess
back.
At that time we were in the pandemic.
They probably had an idea that maybe there was a good shot that preseason wasn't going to be happening because – you know, already the reason I think that NFL football will be just fine this year is because you could kind of create your own bubble situation and police your guys. You know, guys won't be going out as much, and there's limited travel. That's why I think the NFL will be just fine. Like Major League Baseball, all these cases broke out because there's travel, because the Cardinals came to Milwaukee, because the Cardinals then hit up the casino. But with football, you only travel one time per week. You know, there's 16 games, and you know, you're on the road for 8 of them, so you only travel 8 times. So I think football will be just fine. So LaFleur and Goot probably said, well, you know, if we're going to make this season happen, there's most likely not going to be a preseason, meaning Aaron Rodgers, A, doesn't play in the preseason anyway, but we won't be able to get this rookie wide receiver ready for week one. So this guy, whoever we draft, if we could take a rookie at the receiver position, he's probably not going to be ready this year. It's going to be a redshirt year, kind of like it is for Jordan Love. So we might as well, if we're going to use a redshirt, take our quarterback of the future, because the worst time to look for a quarterback is when you need one. So we might as well take something. And if we got, let's say, you know, a next Patrick Mahomes, we could go to him in 2 or 3 years. And if not, Rodgers is done in 4 years. We got our quarterback of the future. Or we got a really good quarterback. If he does develop early, we could trade him for some draft picks. But, you know, most likely they're waiting for him to be the starting quarterback. So I don't know if you could justify it being worth it for just motivation, but I think maybe they knew like this offseason was going to be a mess. There was going to be a bunch of virtual meetings. You know, you didn't even really have rookie orientation where these guys were able to meet their teammates and kind of get their work in and learn the playbook. So I think maybe that's just kind of what they thought.
What's nuts about this whole thing is they have this plan, it seems, but there's not a lot of margin for error for this plan to work. Their plan is we're going to draft a guy who needs development. We're going to develop him. We have a guy who's an all-pro. We're going to use him and rely on him. We are hoping that the two get along at least as co-workers and that some of the information can be distilled and he can be somewhat of a mentor. But we're also hoping that he regresses in time where we can comfortably move on to our next guy, and then he can have, because we're the Packers and this is what we do, he can have a long 15-year Hall of Fame career. It is an incredibly narrow dart to throw, and if it works, you would have to give them credit.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that they're almost banking on it working, though. It's not like, oh, if it doesn't work, you know, we'll be fine. They traded up and threw a first round pick at it. So essentially,
yeah,
you had your first round pick, your fourth round pick, which again, as we've outlined, likely caused them to draft guys higher than they would have. So maybe you left another guy off the board. You've completely changed the course of this franchise for this one pie in the sky scenario where if it works, yeah, you're great, but I also play the same numbers on the lottery every time I play, and that doesn't work.
Yeah, you know, we're not going to be able to
Four,
really...
4, 8, 12.
I play 8 and 12, too. It's funny. 8, 12, 24 is what I go with. 8, my son's birthday. 12,
I can't remember.
Aaron Rodgers,
I play
24,
me. Like many people, I play the numbers from Lost. I can't remember what all the numbers were. Yeah.
Oh. You know what I didn't like?
Hurley won.
Bobby?
No, not Bobby. Hurley from Lost.
Oh, I never watched Lost.
Oh.
I like J.J. Abrams, though. I'm a big Cloverfield fan, Super 8. I like the movies. Yeah. You know what I didn't like? So Scheidman, he says...
The athletic guy.
Yeah, he's on The Big Show all the time. I like his work. I've never talked to him. And he just moved here last year. Scheidman, right, though? I said that right, I think?
I don't know.
Okay, because I've only seen his, like, you know, not that I don't listen to The Big Show every day. I've never heard his interview. What I didn't like from his tweet and from the other Big Show guy then hit up Fennel Cakes, he hit this up too, and he was like, so I guess this is a redshirt year for Jordan Love. You know what I don't understand? Like, what the hell are these dudes talking about? When was this not going to be a redshirt year for Jordan Love? He was always going to be the backup quarterback. Do they mean that he's going to be the third string quarterback behind Boyle? Because I think that we knew that that was going to happen too. Like, I think that people had this idea, and I don't know why, that Jordan Love was going to come here, Aaron Rodgers was going to be the starter, but for the next 2 years, Jordan Love was going to be a gadget-type player. I don't know why people have this idea in their head that, like, I get that that's what they're going to do in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love are not comparable. They're not the same quarterback. Jalen Hurts at Alabama, when Tua became the starting quarterback, played other positions, took reps at wide receiver in the backfield. He's a lot faster. He's a lot smaller. He's a gadget-type player. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts will never be a starting quarterback, probably not for the Eagles, but he's more of a gadget-type player where you're going to use in gadget packages. Jordan Love's a big, tall, drop-back quarterback. Is he athletic? Yes. Can he make plays with his leg? Yes. You're not going to risk your future with Jordan Love throwing him out there at wide receiver or returning kicks. He's not Taysom Hill, guys. So this was always going to be a redshirt year. And I think, and here comes me sticking up for Jordan Love. Pump the brakes a little bit. He's a 20-year-old kid. Let's let him learn the offense. Let's let him work out his mechanics, and then we'll judge this pick in 3 years. I'm glad he's a project. If he just showed up to camp and was whipping it around, whizzing it around like he was Patrick Mahomes, I'd be a little nervous for Rodgers. And it seems like Rodgers is getting along and tutoring him. And Rodgers,
well, yeah,
seems...
once he realizes he's not that good.
So maybe, you know what? Let me change my answer. Maybe this first-round pick, maybe it was a great idea. Maybe I'm all in on the Jordan Love pick because I see these photos of Aaron Rodgers. He looks like he's just having a great time, man.
Horvath.
He's laying on the ground after practice.
No.
He's hanging out with David Bakhtiari, like
no,
doing a little Lambo
show
leap.
Position is we don't like the pick.
I don't like the pick, but if I'm not going to see Jordan Love on the field for 4 years, I don't hate the pick as much. I thought they were going to force Rodgers out the door. Like, we were talking like next year, you know, and then Kenny Clark gets that deal and it's all like a lot of his money's coming on the back end. Everybody's like, well, see what they're trying to do here. That means Rodgers is most likely gone. I don't know about that though. I think now, like I said on the pregame show, which everybody should wake up for, and if you don't, you're an idiot. 5 a.m. bright and early. Who doesn't like to get up at 4:30?
Do you not even podcast your own show?
No, I don't have a page. I was podcasting my own show. Well, A, I have to podcast your show. I have to, like, no.
Put it on my page.
I was doing that. No.
And you should tweet it out every day.
Nah.
You need to advertise yourself better.
See, no, because here's my thing. And if the boss, and if anybody's listening, I'm sorry about this. I'm old school where I don't like the idea of podcasts. I don't like the idea that people could be like, because I hear this all the time. Hey, I listen to you guys when I'm at the gym later on in the day. No. I miss appointment viewing and appointment listening. I get the world's ever-changing. People are tuning in at different times. I like people to listen live. When I was growing up, I had three favorite radio shows. I did not miss them. I did not miss Howard Stern. I didn't go and listen to Stern on a podcast. You know what I mean? That's like, do you DVR the Brewers and then watch them later? Or do you watch the game live?
I watch the game live. I have to, or I get anxiety.
So this show, I understand people have to go to work. At 5 a.m., even if you're at work, your boss ain't paying attention to you. Slip the headphones in. I need the ratings. I want to beat Mike and Mike. Who's on at 5 a.m.? I want to beat them.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zoob.
If I don't beat them. Keyshawn Johnson?
Yeah.
Just give me the damn ball?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I better be beating them. Last month, All right, so anyway, back to what the hell was I talking about now?
I don't know.
No, I don't podcast my show because I want everybody to listen live, just like you should want everybody to listen live. We have this beautiful app, radio.com.
We do.
If you do have to go inside, you know what you could do? Like, if you got to run to the post office, support the post office. My dad works at the post office.
Yep.
Keep supporting them, despite what people tell you. And you run into your business, you pause it, and then you rewind if you miss anything.
Yeah.
If you miss my rants,
yep,
you could rewind. If you miss Bart being Bart, you could rewind it. So, no, I do not podcast the 5 a.m. hour.
414-799-1250. Listen live. We're not podcasting today.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, you should.
Nah, you know what?
No, come on.
I can't even sign into the website anyway, so this is a beautiful thing.
Figure out a way.
I had to wait for Mitch Ross to get here to get me in.
Figure out a way. 414-799-1250.
Yeah, I feel like the last couple of days have been pretty good practice for me. You know, it actually is interesting. We were watching some old film of some of the cut-ups. So as we do the installs, we'll put some film alongside it. And I just noticed something from like a clip from 2010, actually. And it kind of hit me. And I know it was 10 years ago. But the next day I went out to practice and started working on what I saw in the film. And the last couple of days kind of happened. So, you know, it is interesting. I think it's just a good reminder for all of us, you know, the tape of yourself can often be the most important to watch because you can always pick things up. And I won't get into exactly what I saw, but it definitely has helped me in the last couple of days.
What do you think Aaron Rodgers saw? And he's being coy about it. He won't tell us. But Ryan Wood, who we talked to yesterday, said, the thing I've noticed is he's throwing to his running backs more.
Yes, the check down. Woo!
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers looked at the tape from 10 years ago and was like, oh, I used to check it down. I'm going to check it down. The biggest difference, I think, when you watch the Super Bowl or if you rewatch any of those games, he did get rid of the ball quicker. He did.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't have to be the check down, but it's, you know, Donald Driver in the slot, drop back, look, throw.
Yeah.
And now it's drop back. Don't see anybody 50 yards down the field right away.
Yeah.
Run around a little bit.
You know,
get sacked.
I'm a loser, and
it's Aaron Rodgers' story.
Yeah. Here's the problem though. His guys, like these routes they run, are 50 yards down the field. That's the thing. I go back and when we had no sports, the NFL Game Pass. I went back and watched the 2010 season. He did get rid of the ball a lot quicker. But he also always knew where his guys were going to be. His guys ran much better routes because, as he mentioned, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson was barely able to get on the field that year. Greg Jennings was so damn good. We underrate Greg Jennings. And I mean, I can't stand Greg Jennings anymore as a talk show host, but I loved Greg Jennings, the football player, at least his tenure in Green Bay. He always knew where those guys were going to be. They ran great routes, and they didn't drop many balls. I mean, you know, Jordy in the Super Bowl, but he went back to them. Now it's like every year he's got these new dudes. You know, you draft three rookies a couple years back, and that's where things really went downhill for Rodgers. If you want to say downhill, I mean, he threw two interceptions last year. So I thought he was still solid, but I think that was the difference. It's kind of getting on the same page as some of these receivers, and not all of them run great routes. Like, say what you want about Kumerow. The reason that Kumerow actually gets on the field is because he does run a pretty damn good route. He runs a decent route. MVS, when he's healthy, can run I mean, he's a burner, but I don't know. We just need to see more from these wide receivers. So I think if he goes back, he looks at the tape from 2010, maybe getting rid of the ball quicker. Yeah. We always talk about the checkdowns. Also helps when you could check down to Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams. But, like, when you're checking down to Eddie Lacy and James Starks, like, who was he checking down to 5 years ago, 6 years ago? That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what he saw on that tape, though. Probably going to get rid of the ball quicker, hopefully, like you said.
Yeah, that'd be good. But then again, you're right. He needs the weapons to do that. I'm having a hard time grasping my head around the fact that in less than two weeks, there will be an official NFL game. Chiefs and Texans.
I know.
With fans in the stands, it sounds like, for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
A lot of teams have said at least the first two games, we are not going to have fans. I think Pittsburgh just announced that yesterday, which is like kind of late to announce it, but.
I know. Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs, you figure, you got to, not that you have to, but you figured they were going to try to get some people in the stadium because it'll be banner night for them. As they celebrate their Super Bowl win.
And opening night in the NFL.
Has Dallas announced anything yet? I haven't seen. Have the Cowboys said if there's going to be fans in attendance?
Well,
or not?
I'm going to try to have everybody in the stadium. And I think that, you know, if our guys can come and play, we can come and have fans in the stands.
You got to think Jerry wants some fans in
attendance.
Is that
a good Jerry or no? I'm doing that off the cuff.
I mean, I knew it was Jerry. But it wasn't a good Jerry. It was an all right. It was an all right, Jerry.
I'm trying to do it off the cuff with no, I don't have a hook for Jerry. And I've never done Jerry before.
Oh, that's your first Jerry.
That's my first Jerry.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't really,
Mike McCarthy's the greatest coach. He does a little something like this, doesn't he?
Does. He does do that a little bit.
Mike McCarthy's the greatest coach. I can't believe he was available.
Yeah, no, it's not
it. It's just kind of a, you know what? I think this year, the fans that can't go to other stadiums, I think that we are actually going to have more fans this year to make up for those that can't. So come and be a Cowboy fan. What we're going to do this year is sell our regular tickets and then also sell what we call lap packages, where you're going to have somebody sit first row, seat 8, but then you can have somebody sit on their lap. So we're going to try to fit 250,000 people in each and every day. And we are America's team.
It's a good idea, Jer.
This is almost like a Lou Holtz.
You know what's my favorite Lou Holtz memory?
What?
No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say something I shouldn't. I used to be a big Lou Holtz guy, but he needs to go away. Why do we keep giving him a microphone? Why is Lou Holtz allowed to speak? Isn't Tennessee having fans in attendance, too, or am I losing my mind?
The Titans?
Yeah, I thought that they were, too. I want to see.
Know.
Yeah. I don't see how you're going to have fans at Arrowhead in Kansas City, but you can't have fans at Lambeau Field. Like, how are two or three teams going to be allowed to have fans? I just feel like it has I don't know, though, because we talked about this. Is it really an unfair advantage? Or if you are the Texans, don't you almost kind of want some fans there, even though you're on the road? It's got to be super weird.
Yeah, I think some fans is better than no fans.
I don't know what imagine this, man. I was talking about this, okay? So the NFL with no fans is already going to be weird. But let's say that this just keeps going and going, and I know they're doing like, okay, the first 2 weeks there won't be fans, the first 4 weeks there won't be fans. But let's say that nothing gets better, but the season's able to carry on, and we continue into the playoffs, no fans in the NFL playoffs. It's going to be wild. Imagine what's going to happen, though, when we get to the Super Bowl, the biggest spectacle on the planet. I talked about this with my wife last night on the phone. I was like, because she was like, yeah, you know, Ryan, is like football going to happen? Are we going to go to any games? Because she's like, I'd feel comfortable maybe if we're outside if we go to a game. And I was like, oh, we can't. We can't. Like, nobody's allowed right now. I don't even think I'm going to cover the games. And I said, you know what's going to be really weird? Not so much week one against Minnesota or even week two. What's going to be weird is the Super Bowl. If nobody's able to attend the Super Bowl. Because you think of the Super Bowl, it's not even about the game. Like, the weeks leading up to it, it's all media coverage, ET's there, E! News. you know, and just so many damn people. The halftime act, the Super Bowl, the concerts the night before. Dave Matthews, like, always plays for some reason. Imagine it, the biggest spectacle on the planet, and there's going to be, like, nobody there possibly this year. Imagine a Super Bowl with nobody there in the crowd. No halftime show. No, like, weirdos asking Tom Brady to marry them, like, 3 days before the game on Super Bowl media day. It's going to be crazy.
It'll be different. I'm sure there will be fans in the stands at the Super Bowl.
You think so? Because that's, what, February?
The thing with the...
I don't know, man.
The thing with the Packers is, you know, the Packers compared to these other teams, remember, it's easier to block off seats, I think, than it is bleachers. The Packers have bleachers.
Yeah. Can I ask a dumb question?
Please.
Wouldn't you be able to make it work in an NFL stadium if, like, you just did? So, like, let's say you're going to the game with your four buddies, or let's say you're going to the game with your wife and your kid. Why couldn't you do, like, one group of fans in every two rows or sections to have some fans?
Yeah, I
there?
Think that's eventually how they'll
you think that
bring
will
this
happen?
Back in.
Yeah. But, I mean, even, like, week one, week two, I think it would be easier to do because, like, it's still going to be, like, what's going on right now with COVID-19. But, like, weeks four, five, six, then it's cold and flu season, then it's the winter. That's what I'm really worried about, this virus, and, like, my kid being in school and stuff. The first couple weeks, it's like, not that, like, you know, remember when we were all like, well, in the summer, there will be no COVID. It'll burn away in the heat, which isn't the case.
Well, we weren't like that.
Well, no, we weren't, but everybody else was, and that wasn't the case, right? So you would think the, like, cold flu season, you're going to have the flu, just the regular flu and the cold on top of COVID-19. That's when I, like, wouldn't want to go to Lambeau Field. Weeks one, weeks two, three even, I'd be fine going. I don't know if I want to go, like, when everybody's getting sick and you're already sneezing and coughing.
No,
because then you're going to be like, do I have COVID or is this the flu?
I just thought of this idea. I have this great idea. So the latest I saw is that if you have COVID, you can get it again.
Yeah.
But for, like, 3 months,
you're good.
You might be okay.
It's like the chicken pox. I just get COVID so I could enjoy football all year.
Yeah. So what the Packers should do is go to hospital wards, and when people check out after they've recovered, you give them tickets to the game.
Well, the Packers actually, how long? Wait, January, February? No, I was going to say, shouldn't they be immune for a couple more months? Because the Packers had COVID-19 in the playoffs last year.
Oh, no, David Bakhtiari says they didn't. He did his research.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did his research. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, we'll talk some Brewers. I guess we'll talk some Brewers. Bad day yesterday, and it's kind of been a roller coaster for me. They look very bad, and then they win a few games, and I'm thinking, okay. And then they look very bad again, and then they win a few games, and I'm thinking, okay. And even with yesterday, a lot of teams make the playoffs, so there's still, this is still a competitive.
Now, a Green and Gold training camp update. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers will practice in pads over the weekend. The new receivers coach, Jason Vrabel, has been working with Devontae Adams with ideas on how to beat double team coverage when they face the Vikings in 2 weeks.
You know, when we watched Minnesota last year, their thought process was to try to stop 17 as much as they can. If they want to double a guy and take him away, they're going to try to do that as much as they can. And then that's our job to move Devontae around and find a way to get him in one-on-one coverages.
Devontae says he's excited to see what Alan Lazard can do this season.
You know, he's a lot more confident. You know, the coaches have obviously shared with the media, with the rest of the team, you know, how they feel about him.
And after spending last year on the IR, Equanimeous St. Brown says the Packers receivers are a tight-knit group.
Speaking for the wideouts, I feel like we're just all trying to do the best that we can individually. And then, you know, we're trying to win as a unit, as an offense. So I feel like everyone's just trying to do their best individually.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No, I don't. You know, we didn't swing the bats today. You know, we didn't pitch particularly well either. But, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily think we faced some good pitching. The first, you know, this is a team with really good starting pitching. You know, we scrapped across some runs in the first couple of games. But again, we need to score. And I mean, I just, you know, that's, you know, we're not scoring enough. We're not putting pressure on teams like early in the game, and it's continued, and it becomes a really tough formula.
That's Craig Counsell. The Reds with very good pitching. We all know how I feel about Sonny Gray. That's true. Set a major league record yesterday, 40 straight starts allowing 6 hits or less. You're like, oh, that's not, but that's very impressive. Look at his stats. He's been amazing. And he's striking out a bunch of dudes. Man, who was that guy? He's a Milwaukee radio host. He desperately wanted Sonny Gray. And it's like all he talked about one summer. Tim Allen, do you remember who that guy was? Like all he would do is talk about Sonny Gray.
I think he was an intern named Bart Winkler.
Was that Bart Winkler?
He's Bart the intern.
That wanted Sonny Gray? And then who really wanted Yu Darvish?
Yeah, I think it was Bart, too.
Oh, was that Bart Winkler?
It was.
There was some other whack job that wanted Craig Kimbrell. I don't know who that was.
That
might have also been Bart Winkler.
Horvat.
Tim, you hear from Craig Counsell there. Now, Sonny Gray, good pitching. Wade Miley had an ERA of about 9 coming into this game yesterday. In the 2 games, the doubleheader, Brewers get 1 hit in that second game. I can't imagine there was a lot of positivity on the postgame show last night.
Yeah, it was a lot of negative thoughts. I will say this, in hearing that again, Bart, and again, I played that last night on the postgame show, but in hearing that again with sort of a fresh outlook, a new day by day, and we've gotten more baseball, he sounds like a beaten man. He does. And I've never heard Craig Counsell with the demeanor that he's had thus far this year. I've just in the years since May of 2015 when he took over, and in fact even before that, as a player, when I interviewed him a million times, and just I've never heard him collectively this year sound like that down. I mean, he's down. Now the reality is, how do we solve this offensive problem? What can you do? You can't go out and get a bunch of new players. You can't go out and go get Yasmani Grandal and Moustakas and Lorenzo Cain. I mean, that's off the table. So what do? You have what you have. Well, now you got to change within the team, change the configuration. I talked last night about why is it that Yelich and Keston Hira need to be attached at the hip in the batting lineup. Have you noticed that? That's the one change that just refuses to go away. Why is that? Orlando Arcia actually having a good year. Have you thought about just making a change here? We're at the halfway mark. Moving him up, you know, throw Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun, here's another one. Ryan Braun didn't play on Tuesday, the day off on Wednesday, and he can't play 14 innings of baseball. I mean, those are the things that are good. You're going to have to go desperate times, desperate measures here pretty quick. I don't think it's until Monday. I do, Bart. Do what you're doing now, Craig. I'll trust you here for another 3 or 4 days through this series. And after that, you're going to have to make a change. And he knows it. He absolutely knows it.
I don't know really what they can do. I mean, you can tell your guys, hey, hit better, right? I know he can make some adjustments. You've laid out a couple. But I look at batting average, and again, batting average is a nasty stat. But it's still, when Ryan Braun is hitting 193 – that tells you something. When Christian Yelich is hitting 190,
yeah,
that tells you something. Garcia's 220, Narvaez is 170.
There's 100 point 230. Differences.
Smoke had such a big night the other night. He's still hitting 200, and it's not like any of these guys on base percentage is 400, and I'm glossing over something. There is no production at the plate. And, yeah, you should tinker around and you should make sure your stars are out there. But even that, they're not hitting either, Tim.
They're not. And so what you got to do is do more drastic changes in that lineup. Because, again, that's all you've got left. You saw him reach his breaking point yesterday. He was ejected for the first time this year. And you knew that was coming. That is just, he's not a big ejection guy, but 16 times since May of 15.
Did you see the stat on that? It's been 16 different manager or umpires that have thrown him out.
Yeah, he's making his rounds. I mean, people like to pitch in all the 30 ballparks. Well, he wants to get thrown out by every umpire. So, there's nothing left. So you can go off, tear a clubhouse apart. Not, you know, maybe that's occurred already. Okay, you can. What else can you do? Oh, tinker more with the lineup. That's all you have left. That's all you've got left, Bart. I've thought about this just for countless hours. What can be done with the offense? Instead of just saying, well, we need more offense. We got to get off to a lead. They've trailed in 23 of the 30 games. I mean, that is disgusting. It really is. You can't go on a tactical mission and ambush an attack for a week. Not just a day, not just against one pitcher, across the board. Guys, everyone is swinging two of the first three pitches. I don't care if it's at your ankles or your eyeballs. We're going on ambush. We got to change things up here. Those are the types of things that you're forced to deal with right now. The patience part of it, it's a virtue in this game. It is. And we all know that. Large sample size, big windows, baseballs to be measured in 162. Well, we don't have that now. So just try this other stuff. I think you're going to see it. I do. Will it be too late? I don't know. It's not too late right now because we're at the mathematical halfway mark and they're in a playoff chase. And that's regardless of what it looks like. And I know it doesn't look good at times. You're still in a playoff chase. Keep firing away. Keep plugging away. Keep grinding. Do what you can do and hit the postseason.
Did you like, I try to, like, you know, for years we'd always be like, all right, even though it's April, we're going to take a look at the wild card standings. And, you know, we do realize that every game is important, and this year it's more important than ever. And we've got some fancy music that we play for that. But then when I try to look at the standings, all right, so the Brewers aren't first in their division. They're not second. So then I have to go to the league standings, and then I have to make sure that these teams in front of them aren't in second either. So I don't know how many games they're out. I don't know what percentage they're out. I just know that they have to win, right? And that's something that they're not doing.
I mean, they're four under, and you need to make hay, and I think they can against Pittsburgh Pirates. And I believe that payback is on their minds. It has to be. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, they got swept in Pittsburgh last week. Getting a little tired of getting swept in Pittsburgh. That's been a bad habit. But if you look at the Pittsburgh Pirates coming in, they're not a very good baseball team. And some may say the Brewers are not either. I mean, you know, I mean, there's an argument to be made there, but that's my quarterback. They're in a playoff chase, and they can sweep this team. You hate to say, well, you got to sweep. But maybe you do. Maybe you go in there and say, you know, we're going to win tonight. And then we're gonna sweep these guys and get right back to 500. Monday's a new day, trade deadline. There's another deal too. Do you make a trade? What if? Can we play the what if game, Bart?
I'm trying to extend you till 7:55, so we can do whatever you want.
Okay, good. Tim Filler, Time Filler, Time Allen,
Time Allen.
What if they went to Ryan Braun? Then now, what? How would you feel about this? What if they went to Ryan Braun and they said, "Ronnie, we know you got your full no trade clause."
Yeah,
and that's he's earned that.
He's earned it. Yeah.
Yep. But can you do us a favor? We're working out a deal here. We're gonna do our best to get you into California, either San Francisco, San Diego, Oakland, or the two LA teams.
Mm-hmm.
We can get a pretty sizable prospect for you. Can you do that for us on your way out? Can you do
and
that?
then decline the option and come back here next year?
Well, maybe. But what if Ryan Braun said or says or has said no?
I would say no.
Would that change the way you feel about Ryan Braun?
No.
It kind of would for me.
No. So he's got a no trade clause, which he's earned, and now you have to take him out of the no trade clause to help your team that he's not going to be a part of.
But you can help the organization that stood by you through good and bad times.
I mean, I see what you're saying.
I'm just saying the what if. This is all what if and hypothetical. I don't know. Because I do believe there's value there. And if they decide to sell in this situation, maybe that's the route to go. Because, I mean, what's Justin Smoke going to get you? I mean, I guess Avisail Garcia would net some, but you want him. I like him a lot. And he'll get his stuff together. But Braun, I think, is interesting. You could grab probably a decent prospect, a minimum of one It's a pretty solid prospect to try and replenish.
This whole buy or sell thing, as we talk with Tim Allen on The Fan, this whole buy or sell thing is they just don't have a lot of pieces to sell that are attracted by other teams. And then we would look at Josh Hader. The reason to get rid of Josh Hader would be, well, you're just using him as a closer now. You're not using him as the weapon that you've had him in. He's been very good as a closer. He's got the unorthodox no-hitter there. He's under team control for a long time. I don't think Josh Hader finishes this contract as a Brewer. I think they do trade him at some point. I don't see it in this wonky season.
Yeah, no, I would agree, and I would probably disagree. I think Josh Hader is something to build around in that bullpen. Since he is under team control, you're going to have to dig down deep and restock a little bit. When people look at this organization's minor league system and their prospect list, and they say, wow, cupboard's a little bare. We're paying the cost here because of one. You've made the playoffs, and you've played significant games since 2017, 17, 18, 19. Very exciting baseball in two of those 3 years into the postseason. But you're also paying the cost in a market this size with the money you have to work with also. So you're paying the cost. When Cody Ponce pitched yesterday, and he got a victory, people are saying, well, who's Cody Ponce? Cody Ponce was moved in a Jordan Lyles acquisition deal. Jordan Lyles helped this team into the playoffs, into the postseason. Drew Pomeranz and a Mauricio Dubon deal. We're paying the cost a little bit right now for those things. So I think we need to appreciate what they've done here, 17, 18, and 19, and not get so down that how could the cupboard be that bare? How could it be that empty? Well, that's why. Because one, economics play a part. Number two, you traded some of your prospects to acquire these playoff appearances.
Talking with Tim Allen, host of the postgame show, the On Deck show as well. Tonight you're back with that. I never know when we have an On Deck show or not.
I just do what I'm told.
Okay. Is there one tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Six o'clock.
All right. Yes. 6 o'clock. Good. I'll be there with bells on.
See, I just salute and do what I'm told. Follow orders.
Yeah. We're basically humanoids. We're for the station at this
point. No, you guys are the anti-establishment show.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We're tired of it. What am I saying? A lot of the changes in baseball, I figured that I don't maybe like, but I'll come around with. So I've come around with the DH, and I've come around with the extra inning thing. I have not come around on seven inning no hitters or double headers, I should say. I don't like them. Did you like that yesterday?
I like the fact that we have baseball, and I don't care really what form that is. I like baseball. I love baseball. I love Milwaukee Brewers baseball, and I love getting paid. Those are the two things I really enjoy in life. And so to ask me if I'm going to split hairs and dislike overall something, yeah, there's some few things that I would nitpick at a little bit. Overall, guys, we have your favorite team playing baseball. That is the escape valve that we have. First pitch, 7:10 tonight, game one, weekend wraparound series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Against the Pittsburgh Pirates, though, that's a good thing. Folks, that's a good thing. Just get lost in that. It's okay. I mean, I love it. I think there's a lot of other people that think that same way.
So you don't have an answer then?
Of the seven-inning doubleheaders?
Yeah, I hate them.
I like them, mere fact that we're playing baseball.
All right. Fair enough.
I mean, if you ask me next year, I will agree with you. Hate them.
Okay, good.
Tim, what are your thoughts on the final inspection show not having a promo in?
Yeah, their promo's not in.
Call the promo police. They'll get you.
Yep.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, guys. I just saw this.
We're both looking at the schedule log, and there's no promo for the final inspection show.
Zaki!
My goodness, someone's getting written up.
Oh, yeah. I actually do have to write an email every time that there's not a promo.
Call Mitch Rosen.
Zaki.
Warning flare.
Zaki.
Final inspection promo.
I think Zaki already has a slap on the wrist. This may be strike two.
No promo loaded for final inspection. Just a heads
Wait,
up.
Wait, well, hold on. We're going to get Pipe Bob in trouble, though.
I think he doesn't come in here.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah, write him up.
Write him up.
Ready?
Yeah. I'm emailing
Guys,
Steve.
Your promos need to be in by precisely.
Tim, do you want to be blind copied on this one? Do you want me to send
it
to you?
I do, just so we're on record here.
Okay, and should I also send it to Mitch?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Climb the ladder, man.
Yeah, go all the way up. I want the intercom.
Should I send it to Rachel Williamson?
Yes. David Field?
David Field?
He needs to know about this. I will not stand for this.
This is going to hurt this radio station.
We're doomed.
Wow.
We're doomed.
No, but just on a lighter side of things, guys, I think we, hearing Bob Uecker on the air, and I know I sound a little fluffball on this, but it's true. I can't help the way I feel. To hear Uke and to see Brewers baseball and to, you know, talk about it pregame and postgame, I mean, it just is your escape valve to a lot that's going on. There's a lot of moving parts in your world. It's okay to just, hey, I'm going to check out for a little bit, and I'm gonna follow my favorite team. Sit in the garage, tap a few, do whatever you're going to do, and enjoy some baseball conversation. And they are your favorite team. Favorite teams have rough years sometimes. They do. That doesn't mean you don't love them.
Or decades, for that matter. You know, I've been there.
I'm sorry. I got a response on this email from David Field, the head of Entercom. He says, I will look into that. Also, just want to let you guys know about the special announcement that Radio.com has set up with Conclave Podcast.
Oh, nice.
We are going to do a Small Wonder podcast. Remember that show in the 80s where the girl was a robot? The main star of that show has actually never seen an episode. And so they're going to rewatch episodes and do a podcast on it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah. And the James Cameron podcast is a big hit.
Yeah.
With Titanic.
I'm
and the Saved by the Bell podcast is a big hit, too. So it's all happening.
All right.
Tim?
Well, there was a big podcast that I was involved with, but yeah. You know what happened.
Darn. See you later, Tim.
See you, Tim.
I'm tired.
Yeah, me too.
I think
we're all tired.
You talk about council being fatigued. I think we're all fatigued.
Yeah.
No. New game. Hey, fire up. There's a win tonight.
It's just a weird, wacky Friday is what it is.
Yeah. That's all right. It's Friday. Bart, you need to get hammered.
Oh, don't worry, Tim. He will.
Why do you think I'm so tired today?
I think he was hammered last night. Anytime you go and you check and you see Bart deleted a few tweets, it means Barty had a few drinks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, boys. See you later.
Hey, Tim.
Yes.
I just want you to remember, no matter what comes your way,
listen,
plus respect equals peace.
What?
Exactly.
What do you mean?
Exactly. See you, buddy.
He's pretty much telling you to live, laugh, and love.
Yeah, live, laugh, and love. Tim Allen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Yo, Bart, is Rami?
Hey, guys.
Today?
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Sorry, were
I
we
was going to break.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know we were. My
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
What's here? Rewind.
No, we're good.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.